Good morning. It is good to be here. Why don't we pray and then we will get started. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. I pray, God, that as we read your word this morning, that you would make it come alive and that you would use it powerfully in us to make us become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So today we get a look at what is, it's a verse that has been, it's one of those verses that throughout the last several years has been, that I keep repeatedly going back to and reading. It's one of the verses, the few verses that has just over time been one of the most helpful verses to me personally. So I'm happy we got here today, and hopefully it'll be helpful for you as well. So it starts not in a good place, but in a bad place. The idea starts with, you know how you there's opportunities that come along in life, and sometimes we let them go by, and then you look back and go, oh, wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I would have taken advantage of that. I wish I wouldn't have just let that go by. We have regret for things that we let go by sometimes. Sometimes we look back and say, oh, glad I escaped that one. But sometimes we let things go by, opportunities go by, and there's regret. You know how that feels? Have you felt that? You look back and you go, oh, I can't go back and change it. Wish I could, but it's already gone by. And it's always sad. I mean, whether it's something with work, you look back and go, I wish I would have said that to that person or taken that job, or what would my life look like right now if I would have done this, but can't do it anymore. Or in friendship, I wish I would have not let that person move out of my life. I wish I would have said something, or maybe it's a romantic relationship. You look back and say, oh, what would have happened if the reason we regret it, isn't it because you look back and you say, I lost something. Something's gone. Something that I could have had, it's passed me by. Can't get it back. It's sad. It's always sad, but it's especially tragic when the opportunity that we let go by is a spiritual opportunity. See, when it's just a normal opportunity in life, you lose something in life, but when it's a spiritual opportunity, you lose something eternally. We lose something for eternity. Someone else in our life loses something for eternity because we let an opportunity go by. Whether it's an opportunity in our relationship with God, there's moments when God kind of breaks through our fog, and we're like, I should look for something with God. I should start going to church. Whatever form it takes in our minds, I should start going to church. I should start praying. I should do something. That's an opportunity. When we realize I could enter into a relationship with God by repenting and being baptized and making my own decision, that's an opportunity. There's moments in life when we say, you know, I should read my Bible more, or I should pray more. Maybe I should start fasting. I should incorporate more of spiritual disciplines into my life to really seek God. That's an opportunity. There's opportunities in the not just your relationship with God, but in the relationship with other people and God. There's opportunities to cultivate friendships with different people that God puts in our lives, to labor in prayer. Nobody sees you, nobody knows, but you're always praying for this particular person day after day, after month, after year, God, please save them. Give me an opportunity to talk to them. There's opportunities to study with people who don't know God yet. If we could just get up the courage to say, would you like to read the Bible with me? There's opportunities to guide other Christians. There's ministry opportunities. I could write something or start something or take responsibility for this thing in my church community. I could do that. We have flashes of I could do this. I could do that other thing. I could start a class or a group in my home. I could do this. And then we let these opportunities go by. Not always, but sometimes. Sometimes we let them go by because we don't even start them. You know, we don't even say, yeah, I should read my Bible more. I'll get right on that. And then life happens and we wake up and say, hey, I didn't do that. And now a month has gone by, a year has gone by, 2 years have gone by, and I'm no closer to God than I was before. I didn't even start. And sometimes we start these opportunities, these things that God puts in front of us, ways for us to get closer to Him and to help other people get closer to Him. But then something happens and all of a sudden we're just not doing them anymore. I just this morning, I didn't even plan this. This is really embarrassing, but I started it, so I got to say it. So just this morning, I started like last September, one of those Bible reading plans, a new version, and it was a pretty aggressive one. It's like a read the whole Old Testament in a year and the New Testament twice and Psalms and Proverbs twice. And so you're like 4 or 5 chapters a day, and I'm like, there's a button. Have you ever been on YouVersion? YouVersion.com if you haven't. It gives you the readings every day. And there's a button you can push that says, catch me up. It's a magical little button. But I knew that once I started hitting that button, because if you get behind and you hit catch me up, then it makes it like the reading you should have done in May is the reading you're supposed to do today. So you're not behind anymore. It's perfect for when you get behind. And I knew that if I hit that button, if I started hitting it, I would always get behind again, and then I would hit it again, and it would just become like an addictive thing, and I'd have to join a support group and to stop doing it. And I would never finish my plan. So I just held off from doing it, and I just got behind and behind and behind and behind. And finally, today, this morning, I was like, why am I flipping back to May to read my study? I'm just going to catch me up, and I caught me up. So I'm right on schedule, 6 months behind. I mean, I read every day, but just not the whole reading, right? Anyway, and then we wake up and we're like, I lost something. I didn't take advantage of what I could have taken advantage of over the last few months or over the last few years or over the last season of my life. We look at other people who have made decisions to follow Jesus, or we can see they're seeking God in new and different ways. They're spending more time in the Word. They're not telling us that, but we can just tell when we talk to them. The way they talk is different. That you can tell they're praying more. They're seeking God more intensely. Their demeanor is changing. They're a different person. And we look at them and we say, I could be being changed like that. I didn't have to just let this time go by me. Or have you ever seen someone who there was a flash in your mind, I could help that person, I could become their friend, I could pray for them, I could study the Bible with them eventually, maybe I could baptize them, maybe I could help them get closer to Jesus. And then you just, for whatever reason, you don't do that, and then you see them later, years later, months later, or you think of them and you go, I wonder what would have happened. What if we just would have started hanging out every week and I would have started praying for them? What would God have done in their lives? And sometimes when we think of that person, it's too late. They've moved on. They've moved away. They're not interested anymore. They don't even come to church anymore. Yeah, it's passed us by. We imagine what would have been. What would have been if I would have started that ministry or done that project or written that study or started that home group? I wonder what would have happened. It's the would have, could have, should have. What would have happened? Isn't that the worst class, the worst kind of regret? The what would have happened? And I kind of know what would have happened. And it should have happened. I could have done something. But you can't change the past, which is why that regret is the worst kind of regret. Because you look back and say, God put it right there in front of me and I didn't do it. But see, as dreary and dismal as that is, and I know that's not a happy thought to linger on, there's hope. And the verse we're going to look at today is a verse that has incredible hope. And yes, it is just one verse. And no, I'm not trying to stretch out Galatians to get to the end of the year before we go to another book. This verse, we have to take a week to look at just this one verse. But it is a verse full of so much hope. It's hope for you if you never want to experience that kind of regret again. The regret of what would have happened if I would have done what God put in front of me. What would have things be like right now in my life or in the life of that other person or in the life of my church? What would it be like? That there's a phrase that it changes everything, just one verse. And if we can dig into this verse, and then if you can memorize this verse, and if we can bring this verse back to mind when God puts things in front of us, and when we're in the middle of doing things that God asks us to do, and when we're like, I'm just going to give up, I don't see any purpose to it anymore. If we could remember this would save us from the regret that comes when we look back on opportunities that God has given us that we've let go by. The verse, before we get to the nutshell of the verse, it starts with the context of where we're at in Galatians. And where we've gotten to in Galatians is that Paul says that in Christ you are free. If you're in Jesus, if you repented Him and baptized and put Jesus on as your Lord and accepted Him as your Savior, that you are free. You're free from having to depend on your works for your value. You're free to love and you're free to obey God and become like Jesus. You're free to deny your flesh and you're free to be transformed by the Spirit. And today Paul is going to say in Galatians 6 that you are free to persevere. You're free to continue doing what God asked you to do, even when you don't really see the point anymore in doing it. You're free to keep going to do what God asks us to do. In Christ, we are free to persevere. Look at Galatians 6, verse 9. One of those beautiful verses in the Bible. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And the big idea in this verse is if we keep going when we're weary, if we keep going when we're tired, we will see God work. If we keep going when we're tired, if we keep going when we're weary, if we keep going when we say, I want to give up, I'm going to throw in the towel, don't see it working, not worth my time, not even sure I wanted to be doing this in the first place. If we keep going when we're weary, we will see God work. That's the big idea. That's the phrase. That's the verse that saves us from the kind of regret, from having to look back on our lives over and over again and think, I wonder what would have happened. I wonder what it would have been like. I wonder what would have happened in that other person's life. What if I would have just said something? What if I would have, but I didn't? I wonder what would have happened. This verse saves us from that kind of regret. And it all starts, look at the second phrase in it. And let us not grow weary of doing good. Now, he leaves it very open-ended of what kind of good we're not supposed to grow weary in doing. And if you look up that word, what the actual word means, it means every kind of good. It means just doing good. It means every kind of beautiful, good thing. He leaves it very open-ended. And I was asking myself, why did he do that? Why did he not say, let us not grow weary of, and give us a nice little list of the specific kind of good things? Well, it's because God gives His children a whole array, a plethora of good things to do. There's a whole bunch of good things that God drops on our lives to do, and I can't tell you exactly what the good things that God has put in front of you to do are, but you know what they are, and the Spirit makes you see them when they come across your path. That's why we feel regret later when we don't do them, because we know that was from God. That was an opportunity to do good. That was an opportunity to do good, and it starts with the idea that God wants the lives of His children to have a spiritual impact. He wants our lives to be full of good works. What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify God who's in heaven. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, after saying how God saves us, what does Paul say? For we are God's creations in Christ, created to what? Do good works, which He prepared beforehand for us to walk in, to do. There's this list of things that God has planned for me to do. Good works, a bunch of good stuff. There's this whole big list, and He's just going down the list saying, okay, it's time for you to do this, time for you to do this, time for you to do this, time for you to do this. And 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent Jesus. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, the one who believes in me will do what I've done and even greater things. God wants His children to have a life of spiritual impact full of good works through our lives. Because of how we live, He wants other people to become His children and to spend the eternity with Him. And so through the good things that we do, as we talk about Jesus, and as we pray for other people, and as we study with people, and as we teach, and as we share the gospel, as we counsel other people and walk alongside of our brothers and sisters as they go through hard times and good times, and we're always telling the gospel to our family and our friends and our brothers and our sisters, and as we're an example in our lives through our words, God wants to help people come to know Him. Every kind of good works. God gives us these tasks, things to do. Sometimes it's physically helping people. Jesus said, sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. We're supposed to physically help people. We're supposed to spiritually help people. They're not disconnected. It's not, should we be a church that's focused on physically helping people or spiritually helping people? It's both. We sell our possessions and give to the poor so that they will see our good deeds and glorify our Father who's in heaven. And we also are supposed to be a group of people who, as we go out into our world, we tell the story of Jesus and we make followers of Him and we bring them to the point of baptizing them and then teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. We walk alongside them after we baptize them. We're supposed to be people who help people physically and especially people who help other people spiritually to come to know God and to walk with God and to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And the way that we are able to do both of those things is God puts opportunities in front of us, ideas that the Holy Spirit gives us, passions that we have or interests or abilities that we have or opportunities to do good things, to talk to someone, to give to someone. And the idea is that we wouldn't evaluate them. Should I do this? This is the best use of my time. If I do this for this one person, then I got to do it for everybody. It's no. Is this an opportunity that God has given to me right now to do a good work, to help someone physically or especially to help someone spiritually? Well, then I'll do it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So just think now for a moment about your life, just in the context of this message. It will help you as you reread the rest of this verse. What has God asked you to do? What are some of the good things that God has asked you to do? Who are the people He's put in your life? Your family, your spouse, your children, your friendships, the people around you, the people who are close to you. Who are some of the people that God's put in your life with the purpose of you guiding them towards Him? What are some of the things that God has asked you to do in your relationship with Him? If you haven't made the decision to follow Him, He's put that before you. He's putting that again before you today. If maybe He's put it before you reading your Bible and praying and fasting and really getting to know Him more. Maybe it's a ministry or a project. What are some of the things that God has put before you? Maybe you're already doing them. Maybe you're not yet. What are those things, the opportunities for doing good that God has put before you? And then we back up in the verse and He says, let us not grow weary of doing good. So God gives us these good things to do with our lives to help other people know Him. And then He says, don't grow weary of doing those things. Well, why do we let opportunities go by that God has given us? You know, and I'm convicted of this every night when my kids go to bed and every night that I don't read the Bible with them, I'm like, oh, that's an opportunity. I just let it go by. God gave it to me. Why do we let the opportunities go by that God puts in front of us to do good deeds, to let other people get closer to Him? Well, I think there's two things that we do. One is we don't start, and then we don't keep going. We don't start. We grow weary. We grow weary before we even start. God gives us something that we could do, and we say, oh, but if I do that, here's what's going to happen. They're going to say no, and then it's a friendship is going to be weird, and then they're going to think I'm just that friend who wants to read the Bible with them. And I could pray for them, but I know how it's going to turn out. They don't want to know God, so I'm going to pray for them every day, and it's never going to work out. I could start that ministry, but nobody else at church is going to help me. I know how it's going to work. We tire ourselves out. If I do that for this person... You maybe have never thought this. I've thought this. Other people have told me this. I do that for this person. I got to do it for everybody. I can't do it for everybody. We get tired before we even start. We talk ourselves out of it before we say yes. We don't even start. That's one way we grow weary in doing good. Another way is we don't keep going. We start and then we get tired, get bored. I don't know about you. That's a common one for me. I start something. It's really cool at the beginning. I mean, the first time that you guys said, would you come and speak on Sunday morning? It's like, whoo, new thing I can do. Every week after week, it's like, well, that's work. That's different. I love doing it. Don't get me wrong. But the first week was just awesome. It was like, whoo, this is so cool. And I was like, every week, it's love doing it. But we get bored. We get tired. We throw in the towel. We don't keep going. It's hard to keep going. That's why he says, let us not grow weary of doing good. Why does he have to say that? Because it's hard to keep going. It's hard to persevere with the good works that God has given us in ministry and serving and discipling or guiding other people. It's hard because the things that God gives us to do are not easy things. It's not easy to get up the gumption. That's an old word for you. To get up the gumption to say, would you like to read the Bible with me? Because we think in our mind, no, of course they don't want to. So why would he even offer that? I don't want to be rejected. It's hard to think, okay, now they said yes. Now I got to sit down. We're going to go to a coffee shop. We're going to sit down. We're going to read the Bible. What am I going to say? What if they ask something I don't know how to answer? How do I do that? I don't know. We doubt if we can really do it, if we even want to do it. And then when we start doing things, we don't really see a result all the time. Have you ever noticed that? You start, maybe you're studying with someone or you're reading the Bible with someone every day. It's like, nothing changes. You're praying for them and nothing really has changed. I prayed for that person for years. They're no closer to that than they were when I started praying for them. Why would I keep going? Paul says, don't grow weary. Why? Because we don't see results. We don't see people going forward. Sometimes we see people going back, and sometimes it's the people who are closest to us. Have you ever been investing your life in someone who you really cared about, just not like a stranger off the street, but someone who you loved, a child or a brother or a sister or a family member, somebody who just was close to you before God even came into the picture, and they were making progress in their relationship with God, and then something happened, and they just took hard left turn. They just went away. It's like, see, it's not that they're even just staying in the same place. They're going backwards. That tires us out. It's not working. We get discouraged. And then we start wondering, did God really ask me to do this? Was this just like a good idea that I had? Maybe the preacher tricked me into it. Maybe he said something about praying for someone who's lost, and then I thought, oh, that person's lost, and I know them, and I love them, so I'm going to pray for them. And maybe that wasn't even God. Maybe it wasn't God's idea that I disciple this person and walk with them through life. That might have just been me thinking I should do it. We get tired of doing good. And then we throw in the towel. We say, why should I go on? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever started doing good things and just been like, I don't feel it? Been reading my Bible every day. Don't feel it. I'm not the whole God talking to me when I read the Bible. I'm not feeling it. It's not working. And a component of this, something that makes us grow weary of doing good, is that Satan wants to stop us from doing the good things that God gives us to do. That's another reason why we grow weary in doing good, why it's hard for us to persevere. He doesn't want us, our lives, to have the spiritual impact that God wants our lives to do. So he puts spiritual resistance, whether it's problems and tests, whether it's other people who attack us, make us feel bad, they put things in our life, and like, why am I even doing this? He puts discouragement in our feelings and in our thoughts. And then Paul keeps going, and then it starts changing, and it starts going positive. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, he starts going positive. And the positive part starts by looking at the sovereignty of God. He says, in due season. In other words, not on your time schedule, not on my time schedule. God will work. If we keep doing the things that God asks us to do when we're weary and when we're tired and when we don't want to keep doing them, we will see God work. But Paul reminds us, not when you say, it's time. Okay, I prayed for this person for 3 weeks. Now I'm going to ask them to study the Bible. They're going to say yes. And then we're going to read the Bible together for, I think, probably 5 weeks would be a good amount of time. Then I'm going to talk to them about making their decision to repent and be baptized and put on Christ, and they're going to say yes, and then they're going to make some steps in their life, and that's my time schedule. Paul says, it's not your time schedule, it's God's time schedule. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over our good works, and he's sovereign over the fruit that comes out of our good works and the results that come out of our good works and the work that he does in other people's lives through our good works. He's sovereign over that. He decides when. For in due season, he's the one who says, he's the one who says when things are going to reap a harvest. He controls it. So this is where we go back to, we're free in Christ to obey and to persevere in our obedience. Why? Because my worth before God doesn't depend on my results in ministry. It doesn't depend on, I prayed for that person, I studied with that person, I baptized that person. See, I'm a good Christian. I read my Bible, I fast, and I pray, and it all works out, and I feel God talking to me. I started this ministry, now other people are volunteering with me, and it's working out. That's not what my worth before the Father or before y'all depends on. I'm free in Christ because my worth depends on Him, not on what I do. That I can just obey God, and I can trust Him for the results. I can trust that He will give fruit in His time when He decides that it's time to give fruit. I can leave the results in God's hands. I can obey Him and trust in Him for how things are going to turn out and not be responsible for the results. Just be responsible for obeying when God gives me things to do. And then the next word, for in due season we will reap. Reap a harvest, some versions say. We will reap. There'll be results. There'll be fruit. That's the promise in all of this. If we keep going and doing the things that God asks us to do when He asks us to do them, and we just keep going and persevering with them, we will see God work. If we don't give up, if we don't throw in the towel, if we don't say, nah, done it enough, I've decided that enough time has gone by, I've tried my hardest, didn't work. No, it's God's time, not my time. If I keep going with what God has asked me to do, He says, there will be a harvest. You will see results. There will be fruit. In other words, my biggest reasons for not going on and keeping doing, that's horrible grammar, but you know what I'm saying. The things that God has asked me to do, they're not valid reasons. I give up because I'm tired. God says, there's going to be fruit. Just keep going. I give up because I don't see it working. I don't see the changes in other people or in myself that I expected to see in the amount of time that I expected to see it. So it's not working. I decide it's not working. Who am I? God? No. He's the one who will give fruit. And if I step back and say, I'm just going to keep working, there will be a result. My reasons for giving up and throwing in the towel are never valid. If God gave me a job to do, whether it's in my personal relationship with Him or helping other people know Him, I'd better be doing that, because He's the one who's going to decide when it's not working. And He'll tell me to stop doing it and to do something else. I'm not the one that's supposed to make that decision, because there will be fruit if I keep going, if God has told me to do that. See, God is the one who is working in the world. And we have to remember this. When He gives us things to do and we're frustrated and we're discouraged and we don't feel it and we don't see it and we're tired, we have to remember God is working in the world. He's restoring people to Himself. He's reconciling people who have rebelled against Him. He's making all things new. The mess that we make our lives into, He's restoring and healing and reconciling us to Himself through His children, through Jesus, His Son, and through the rest of His children, through our lives. So when He gives us things to do, it's not just busy work. It's not fill out this page of math problems so that we can get to the end of the day and you have something to do and you don't bother me while you're doing your schoolwork. It's this is important. I'm working reconciliation in other people's lives through you. And we have to continue forward by trusting. We persevere because we have faith. We trust We trust that God is working and will work, especially when we don't see Him working. That's what faith is. That's the theme of this book, trusting God. And this says we will reap a harvest if we keep going. So just imagine for a moment what God could do through your life, what your legacy could be when you're at the end of your life. In fact, you've already passed the end of your life, and now you're looking back. What could God have done through the rest of your life? How could He have used you? How could He have used you if to not waste your life, to use it for His glory? What could it be like when you finally see Jesus? Because you've given your life to knowing Him and getting close to Him here, and then you see Him, and it's not like seeing a stranger. It's like seeing someone who's your treasure, who you love dearly, and now you're seeing face to face because you know Him, because you gave yourself to knowing Him. What would it be like if you get to the end of your life and then you look around after that? You're not here anymore. You look around and, and all these people know God because partially because of what I gave my life to. I gave my life to helping them, and I walked alongside them, and it wasn't a public thing, and nobody knew about it, but I gave myself to showing Jesus' love and talking about Jesus to other people, and look at what God has done. I know Him, I'm close to Him, and He's put around me in heaven all these other people who are here in large part because of how I've lived my life. What could God do with your life if you would continue with what He's given you to do today? Which is why Paul ends this verse by saying, if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest in God's time. If we don't give up, we have to keep going forward. We have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, studying with the same person, getting up in the morning with our coffee and our Bible, and, well, coffee's optional, but the Bible's not. Getting up in the morning and reading over and over again. Getting up and doing the same ministry week after week. Getting up and doing the same things, whether it's functioning or not, whether it's working or not, whether we feel the excitement inside or we don't, whether we're encouraged to do it or we're not encouraged, whether we really feel it or not, we keep doing it. Why? Because God has given us these things to do, and we will see fruit, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Only if we don't give up. See, we rob ourselves of seeing God work through our lives when we don't start the things He's given us. And when we don't keep going, when we want to throw in the towel. So start asking yourself, what do you need to do to persevere with what God is asking you to do in your life? Maybe for you, it's you just need to start something. God has given you something to do, and you haven't taken the first step. You've talked yourself out of it before you started. Maybe God is now calling you back to obedience and saying, just start it. Maybe for you, you started and kind of given up, and now you need to start again. And God is giving you an invitation today to start over. He said, remember that thing I asked you to do? Yeah, and you got tired and you kind of let it go and it wasn't working and you had all the reason. Keep going with that. Maybe for you, you need to continue with what God has asked you to do because you're still doing it, but you're not feeling, you're growing weary. And God wants to lift up your hope and your faith today and say, keep going. You will see a harvest if we continue. When we're tired, we'll see God work. So, application, we got to keep going and doing what God has asked us to do. Couple ways, practical ways to do that. One, use this verse, personal experience. This verse has been invaluable. Memorize it. Use it as a fighter verse. Use it in those moments when you want to give up, when you want to say, not worth it. I'm not going to talk to that person again. I'm not going to pray for that person again. I'm not going to continue that ministry. Why am I going to read my Bible again tomorrow? Because I felt nothing today. Use this verse. Use this verse and repeat it in your mind. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Use it and repeat it to yourself. Use it as a fighter verse to keep you from throwing in the towel in those moments when you want to say, nah, not working, not going to do it. Another thing, let this verse give you faith today. Faith that God gives His children things to do for their own personal relationship with Him and to help other people know Him, and faith that God will work through our perseverance as we continue doing the things he's given us to do. So let me end with a question. What do you need to do? Is there something you need to start? Is there something you need to start over? Is there something that you need to keep going but with new strength? What do you need to do to continue doing what God has asked you to do so that you will be able to see God work through your life? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you right now and we thank you. Thank you for being good. God, we've kind of assumed as we've talked today that we know what you want us to do. And God, I pray that in those moments, even now for some of us, that it's kind of foggy what you are asking us to do, what our next step is, what that task is that you want us to do to help other people or for us to get closer to you. And it's kind of a blur, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would clearly show each of us what you want us to do. And that we'd say, oh, that's a good work from God, and that we would accept it as being a task from you. Now, God, I pray that you would fill us with confidence and hope and faith that you are working in this world. We see you work. We know you work. You work in us. You work around us. And God, today in faith, we want to believe again that you work through us. I pray for the person here today who knows what you want them to do and just hasn't done it, hasn't started, has put up reasons, and I pray, God, that you would just pull them into saying yes and starting. For the person, God, who has started but really feels like it's just not working, kind of wasting my time, rather give up, somebody else can do this, I pray, God, that you would fill that person with hope. Fill us with hope, God, and strength to keep going and persevering, that we would believe that you are working and will work through us so that we would not give up in doing good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.